Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today I was interviewed by the American Family Association's news service, AFA News, and they are printing a report detailing what the partial birth abortion ruling actually does. And apparently in the newsroom, they are convinced there that this partial birth abortion ruling was a political ploy. It does not save a single child from being aborted. And so we're looking forward to that report, that news report and article out of the American Family Association. We're thankful for that. Yesterday, Ambassador Alan Keyes wrote an extraordinary article in support of Colorado Right to Life and Judy Brown, American Life League, and against National Right to Life's strategy of secular humanism and of regulating child killing. And if you enjoy reading Alan Keyes' insightful analysis, you'll want to go to his website, which is renewamerica.us. Renewamerica.us. And what a name he has for this Gonzales v. Carhart ruling. He calls it bad fruit. Bad fruit. National Right to Life chose a godless strategy over 30 years ago, and that has led to the bad fruit of rulings like this, where they actually authorize the killing of the same unborn child, just partially deliver it to the belly button, and then you could kill it, they say, in this ruling, these supposed pro-life justices. So that, of course, is extraordinary. There is another organization, Equal Rights Colorado, which is submitting a human life amendment through the whole ballot initiative here in Colorado on July 3rd. They have a hearing, and we'll keep you informed on that. That's exciting because this defines a person as a human being from the moment of fertilization. So that is so very exciting. And there is a pro-life activist in Idaho? He changed his name to pro-life so that he would run for office, and on the ballot, it would say pro-life, vote for pro-life. So that's pretty fun. Well, he ordered 40 DVDs from us, 40 years in the wilderness. After he saw one, he was riveted by it, and he sent out an email to 100 pro-life activists and leaders that he has had personal contact with over the years, and he told them that he is disassociating from National Right to Life and has become a member of Colorado Right to Life. And he has received emails from many people back, he tells us, from people saying, we are doing the same thing. And pro-life, he said that he got two negative emails. And one of those is from someone we know, Stephen Ertelt of LifeNews.com. And he sent us the email from Stephen Ertelt. And it's really a sad, short email. And perhaps I'll read this to you tomorrow. We are going to have an interview with John Lofton of the American Voice. John Lofton did an article on Steve Ertelt and, believe it or not, Lynn Vincent of World Magazine. And he wrote that Steve Ertelt is guilty of false reporting about these justices that George Bush is nominating, and that Lynn Vincent of World Magazine picked up the false reporting and repeated it in World Magazine. And so that's the exact pattern that we've just gone through regarding this partial birth abortion ruling. In our debate with Steve Ertelt and then having Lynn Vincent on, if you missed those shows, she's a journalist with World Magazine. You'll want to hear them. They expose clearly how many in the pro-life Christian media are willing to hide how wicked this Gonzales ruling is. And they do so for partisan reasons. It's very tragic. But now, many of you know that for years I hosted Bob Enyart Live, the TV show, and we now have the BEL Televised Classics available on DVD. And they're going out all over the country. And so my producer, Will Duffy, he said, Bob, some of this stuff is so funny, we got to let your radio audience know what's going out on these DVDs. So he picked a few clips from the show that he's just dubbing. We're dubbing them from the old studio masters onto DVDs. So, Will, do you have one of those ready? All right, get our board up to cue that up. Yeah, let's hear from, what year was this, 1996, from Bob and Yart Live. All right, let's go to Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Beth, speak your mind.
Hi.
Hello, Beth.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. A friend of mine is going to have a child, and it's known that she's going to die if she has it. And should she have an abortion or should she have the child? It's definite that she's going to die.
All right.
If she has the child.
Hey, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
That brings up, that story brings up like a moral dilemma, right? And you have to figure out what's right and what's wrong.
I'm just asking because a majority of conservatives,
yeah, I understand,
would say that you should have,
yeah,
the abortion.
I understand, but I'm just saying the story you point out, this problem, points out a moral dilemma. And you have to figure out whether somebody knows right from wrong and see what their answer is, right? So you're calling to test me, sort of.
No, I'm just asking you what
right,
might do if you were faced with a situation like this.
Okay, but could I first present you with another situation and to ask you what's right or wrong?
You could, but I wouldn't really know what's right or what's wrong. Only God knows that.
No, not in this circumstance, but another circumstance, all right?
Sure.
All right? What if a caller called into a nationally syndicated TV talk show and lied? But they lied because they wanted to make a point. Would that be a good thing to do or a bad thing to do?
It'd be a bad thing to do.
Okay. So, why did you do it?
Why did I do what?
Why did you lie?
Because I would like to see what was going through your mind. What would go through your mind? And why?
Okay, Beth, so why didn't you say, Bob, in this situation, why did you, like so many other liberals, lie? Why did you call up and say, I have a friend, and maybe make the whole audience start feeling for you? Some people out there, you know, they're feelers, and they start getting sad right away. You think that's right for you to play on people's emotions to make a point? And you know what?
No, Bob, you're right, and I was wrong, and that was so bad of me to do.
All right, Beth, so now let's talk about the issue you brought up.
Thank you.
Let's talk about abortion and the life of a mother. All right? Almost the vast majority of times when that issue comes up, no one's talking about the life of a mother because the woman's life, the mother's life, is rarely threatened through an abortion, but it does happen. It does happen. But what we do know is that pregnancy brought to full term is an incredible safety factor for a woman's life because, for example, breast cancer is much less likely in a woman who's gone through a complete pregnancy. Did you know that? That women who have an abortion have a dramatically increased risk of breast cancer. So you want to talk about a woman's life being threatened, but now
let's talk about the pregnancy. Wrong and
okay.
It's immoral, and I would never do it.
Okay.
But I was just wondering in that situation.
All right. Now we'll get to your point. Let's say a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, right?
Yes.
You know what that is, where the fertilized egg is coming down the fallopian tube and gets lodged. And it doesn't make it into the uterus, and it begins to develop in the tube. And that cannot work. In that situation, the egg is getting bigger in the fallopian tube, and the baby will die, and the mother will die. We know that. So something needs to be done. If you're a doctor, and you got to move to do something. So this is what you do. If you have a medical emergency, and you have to save someone, you do everything you can to save them. But you don't intentionally kill one person to save another. So what we do is we go in to save the mom, and we remove this little tiny fertilized human embryo. We remove it. Or it's not an embryo yet, it's a zygote.
We remove it. And we wish we could implant it in the womb so the baby can be protected and grow. But we're not smart enough yet to do that. We don't know how to do that. Only God would know how to do that right now. So we remove the baby, we save the mother, and the tragedy is the baby dies. But we pray and we move forward to the point where we could save the baby and the mother. That's what we do. All right, Beth?
I just want to make it clear that I wasn't trying to confront you with any situation. I was just wondering how you felt about that.
Okay.
And how it might be handled in a Christian manner.
Okay. Did you understand the answer?
Oh, yes, I understand. But
okay, a doctor...
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, a doctor should never go in with the goal of a procedure be to kill a patient. And the baby, according to Williams Obstetrics, one of the major textbooks in colleges for obstetricians, Williams Obstetrics says today the baby is the second patient because we can treat the baby in the womb. It's an exciting thing. Thank you, Beth. I appreciate that. You know, it happened before, just in about a week or two ago. And I didn't point it out on the air. But a caller calls in trying to make a pro-abort argument, and they lie. And Beth, it sounds like Beth is, you know, definitely on the right path and wants to do the right thing. But so many Christians, their ideas get swayed by liberals, and they get intimidated from standing firm. And I hope Beth takes that example and stands firm and never does evil that good may come of it. Right? Should never do wrong. Like, you don't vote for somebody who believes in just some child killing. You got a politician. They're against child killing. All right? I am running for office, and I'm against child killing, except for kids who are under 2 years of age. But I oppose almost all other forms of child killing, except any kids 2 years old and under, I think you should kill them. Oh, well, we should support them. Maybe we'll get the Christian Coalition to, you know, endorse him. Because, look, he's against all killing all those kids. What do you want, a whole loaf of bread? Can't take a half a loaf of bread? I mean, he's good enough. You never do evil that good may come of it. So what do? We go after, we support George Bush, right? As Christians, conservatives, not all of us, but too many of us. We support George Bush, but he believes... He defends killing some kids. Like, if their father's a criminal, you could kill them. Right? For rape and incest. You could kill them. So those exceptions are a window to his soul. So what does he do? He appoints hardcore pro-abort judges to the Supreme Court, federal courts, who aggressively defend and advocate abortion, like Souter did. And unbelievable. You don't do evil that good may come of it. Right back.
Okay, now that was from 1996, Bob and Yurt Live. The young woman calls in, says, Bob, my friend is pregnant, and it's a life or death pregnancy. And so, of course, instantly you know she's lying. And there were many calls like this. When we were on TV, we were on in 80 cities, 5 nights a week for an hour. And that's a lot more exposure than being on the radio in Denver, Colorado, and on the internet. I mean, we're thrilled. We are on the most powerful Christian radio station in America, AM 670 KLTT, 50,000 watts, 670 AM. That's just thrilling, and it's an honor to be on the station. But to be on 80 cities 5 nights a week from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida, that's extraordinary. Now, we have a commercial, a TV commercial, that we aired when I was on a station with Bob Newhart. He was playing at 1 hour at 9 o'clock in the evening, and Bob Enyart live was playing at 10 o'clock. Well, he only had a half hour show. I had an hour show, but so Bob Newhart and Bob Enyart, we thought that was funny. So we put together a commercial, and we'll get that ready. I'd like to let you hear that. Okay, we've got it.
Okay, now, with Renee on hold in Texas, I'd like to run this promo. We aired it years ago. Bob Newhart's Aaron, Bob Enyart's Aaron, same station in Denver, Colorado. So we do this promo, and see what you think. Here we go, Renee.
Watch TV 53 for the two Bobs, Bob Newhart and Bob Inyarn.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, dear.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Howard.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, hi, Dre.
Watch Bob Inyarn live 10 p.m. weeknights on TV 53.
If you have common sense, liberals call you a fanatic. I say children are better off if their parents stay together. What do you think, Bob?
My parents split up.
Are they getting a divorce?
No, I just have a plan to get them back together.
We solve problems, so to set things right, tune in each night.
Again and again and again.
Drop in, you're invited. It'll straighten out your thinking.
This takes time. It could take a lot of visits.
But it'll work.
If there's anything else we can do,
just let us know.
Watch Bob Inyarn live 10 p.m. weeknights on TV 53.
Hey, Bob. I was thinking it might be fun to have Pat Schroeder on.
I was thinking it'd be fun not to.
Watch Bob Inyarn live 10 p.m. weeknights on TV 53.
All right, that's when we were on in Colorado, and then we launched nationwide. And Colorado was a 5 million watt full-power TV station, also on cable. And eventually we were on in 80 markets, and it was an extraordinary run of a call-in Christian TV show. It was pretty neat, TV and radio. Okay, now we want to play another clip. This is about public schools, you tell me? Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, let's go to Mandeville, Louisiana. Mark, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob. Before I get to my question, I'd like to know, what's your free throw percentage of waste basket throws?
I'd put it somewhere around 32%. No. Now, you know, we haven't kept track, but...
You ever make any?
Yeah, it's right there. We'll have to get a camera on it sometime.
Okay, here's my question.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong with the public school system? Okay, can you give me some examples?
Well, all right, let me ask you this question. What do universities say about their incoming freshmen, their English skills?
As the public school system?
Yeah, as a general rule, what do universities in this country say about the English skills of the incoming freshmen that have graduated from high school?
It's probably terrible.
Right. They complain that they have to put a majority of them through remedial English. Now, let me ask you this. What language do most of those students speak?
English.
Right. Isn't that incredible? You think kids growing up in Japan, when they get to college, they have to study remedial Japan? Japanese?
Probably not.
Right. Okay, so there's one indication that we're totally failing. Here's another. What do employers say when they get together in their little employers association nationwide about the ability of people coming out of the high schools to be trained in the workforce once they get to the company?
They probably have zero skills.
They say it's terrible. They say we don't want them to know how to build planes, or we just want them to know how to read and do simple math. Okay, so academically, the system is completely failing compared to other nations in the world and compared to what we did 100 years ago. And I would put our education level 200 years ago up against the education level today. But, and that was before we had widespread public schools. But what if academics were perfect? What if we had the most brilliant students in the world academically? The system is still an utter failure. Because it's aggressively teaching children that there are no rights or wrongs. It's teaching them situation ethics. You know, I have spent years now asking kids in high school and college, is there such a thing as absolute right and wrong? And the majority answer I get in a debate with liberal students is no. There is no such a thing as absolute right or wrong.
And they're taught that in the public school system?
Not one of them were taught it by their parents.
Exactly. Right. Well, it was a trick question, Bob, because my son was in public school for 4 years, and he's 11 now. He's gone to a private school now, and he's going to be in fifth grade, and guess what?
What?
He doesn't know how to read or write. He didn't know his times tables, yet he passed the fourth grade with B's and C's. So what really got to me was listening to D. James Kennedy and also listening to you about the public school system, and he asked, what's more important? Going to Disney World, driving cars, or getting boats or vacations, or your children's education.
Mm.
And I just saw where the public school system was going down the drain.
Hey, and even more so than your children's education. Because let's say we lived 100 years ago and we worked on a farm. And our kids only learned the most minimal academic skills. But you had four or five kids, and you raised them to respect one another, to be hard workers, to the boys to take care of their wives when they got married, and raise their children in a godly way. Wouldn't you be happy with your children?
Definitely. I'd have something to look forward to, something to be proud of.
Yeah, even if they couldn't.
I'm a graduate of the public school system. I graduated the 12th grade, but guess what? I'm a born-again Christian now. I've accepted Jesus, and it's opened my eyes to what's going on in the world with the liberals. And I don't want my kids growing up. I don't want a guy telling my kids about sex education and handing out condoms to
my kids. Hey, that happened
to me and my wife, Mark, and as parents, to take that responsibility to train our children up God's will.
Mark, you're absolutely right. You know, I'm a perfect example. My family, when I was in high school, they taught me that it was good for young boys to have sex with young girls. And they said, just use a condom. I graduated in 1977, Manchester Regional High School. And if you get her pregnant, just have an abortion. And I became severely addicted to sexual immorality, from prostitutes and strip joints to whatever.
You were taught that it was okay.
I was taught that it was good.
Right, that it wasn't wrong, that there's no difference between right or wrong.
Right, and guess what? My teachers, they wouldn't teach me to use drugs or to murder, but they taught me that it was good to have sex with any girl I could convince. So I believed them. I believed them. And I got into that lifestyle, and it destroyed my family.
I've heard about your lifestyle.
Right.
So I'm going to teach my kids to abstain from sex like God wants it, because a man and a wife, their sexual relationship is so intimate and so special that it's only to be shared between them.
Right.
And not with the rest of the world. And TV sensationalizes. They're picking on a guy for being a virgin. And he doesn't have the guts to stand up and say, that's right, I'm a virgin.
And
I'm going to wait until I'm married.
Right.
And you're what's wrong.
You're right, Mark. And a young woman, a godly young woman, says to the guys that want to use her, I'm worth waiting for. I am worth waiting for. Let me ask you this, Mark, quickly, then we'll go.
Okay.
Let's say there's somebody who's involved in their community, and they want to improve kids' education and rearing. And they have 100 hours to put toward helping out kids in education. Would they be more effective trying to fix their public schools or warning parents to pull their kids out of public schools? Which would help more children with those 100 hours?
I'd warn the parents to pull the kids out of public school.
Absolutely
and
right.
And get them into the Bible.
Absolutely.
Start reading the Bible. Start sharing stories about what goes on in the Bible and what God wants in your life, not what these liberal Democrats want in your life.
Very good.
I'd like to read something about abortion, if I could, from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God said...
All right, wait. Warning. Will Robinson there, Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants.
Mark, thank you so much.
Okay, Bob.
God bless you. You and your descendants. You notice that? Doesn't the Constitution defend our life, liberty, and happiness for ourselves and our posterity? Doesn't it do that? Right? Am I making this up? What does posterity mean? If we looked up pro aborts like to say, well, abortion isn't against the Constitution. I have a dictionary right here. It's usually down there. And if we were to look up posterity, and if we wanted to know, is abortion where you kill your unborn child, is that against our Constitution? Well, the Constitution defends the life, liberty, and the right, the pursuit of happiness for ourselves and our posterity. So let's see. I know I graduated from a public high school, but POST. All right, we're getting there. Post-impressionism. That's a good one. I never learned that about that in public high school. Posterity. Posterior. Nope, that's not it. Let's see. Posterity. Here it is. All of a person's descendants. All of a person's descendants. All succeeding generations. Let's see now. I'm going to follow this further. I'm going to look up descendants. Because your posterity is all of your descendants. Let's see. Here we have descendant. A person who is an offspring, however remote, of a certain ancestor, family group, etc., something that derives from an earlier form. Let's see, to descend. This isn't, you know what I think? I think that when you have a little boy in your womb, let's say he's 3.5 months old, and he has brown eyes and brown hair, and he looks a lot like mom. Although sort of is, you know, cheek and jaw sort of like dad, but his eyes and his ears, the hair looks like mom. I'd say that's your descendant. Wouldn't you? He looks like mom. He's got dad's eyes. That's your son. That's your posterity. And the Constitution was written to guarantee the life, liberty, and happiness, pursuit of happiness of ourselves and our posterity. And when you kill your unborn child, you're violating the Constitution. You know what else the Constitution does? It defends someone's life without due process of law. And unless you can prove in a court of law that this person has committed a capital crime, you cannot kill that person. You've got a 6, 7, 8 month old baby that, like Warren Hearn in Boulder, that abortionist likes to kill older babies because he gets more money from it. You got a baby like that that he wants to kill, and that baby hasn't gone through due process of law. He hasn't. In fact, the only crime that baby has committed, he's in there sucking his thumbs, playing with his toes. If there's twins, they're wrestling with each other. One of them sucked the other one's thumb. You know how cute that is on a screen? And then Warren Hearn gets his grisly hands around their necks, literally, and kills them. Wow, they didn't commit a capital crime. The only crime they committed was being unloved. That's it. But for liberals, that's good enough. Because if grandpa's unloved, especially if he has some money to leave, then we could starve him to death. We could get rid of him.
Hey, you just heard clips from our Bob and Yurt Live televised classics. If you'd like to subscribe and receive these shows on DVD through the mail, you can sign up at kgov.com. That's our website, kgov, kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-NYARTS. That's 800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. You could ask for our catalog. And you've got to watch 40 Years in the Wilderness, the DVD. It's extraordinary. Money-back guarantee on everything. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. Check them out. September's coming up, right? So Maranatha, may God bless you all.